Welcome to episode 10 of Legacy Listening. I'm your host, Nancy Predahl, CEO and President of Lampert & Earson. At Lampert & Earson, we're deeply committed to building a lasting legacy, one that transcends projects and plans and touches the very communities we serve. Today, I am thrilled to be talking with Asha Kuhn, co-CEO of Blair Freeman, about building bold legacies. I love that. Blair Freeman, founded by Ashley and her business partner, Miranda Adams, is making waves in the construction industry with a focus on inclusivity and transparency, ensuring everyone has a seat at the table. Their values closely align with ours at Lampert & Earson, creating future-ready spaces through smart growth and collaboration. Ashley, thank you for being here today. I'm excited to learn more about how you and Miranda have shaped Blair Freeman and the impact you're making on Omaha and beyond.
Oh, wow. Thanks for having me. That was incredible.
We'd love to have you here today. To get you kicked off, I'm going to ask a question that I ask all of our guests.
All right.
Lampert & Earson's purpose statement is leaving a legacy and enduring improvements to our communities. How does our purpose of leaving a legacy resonate with you?
Okay, yeah. So Blair Freeman's tagline is transforming communities and the people that build them. And so we are big on, we say people first, project second, because when you focus on the people, innately great things happen in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that is a lot along the lines of what LAMP thinks is, when we focus on the people, great things happen.
Yeah, we're nothing without our people.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing at all.
I think it's done.
No. Blair Freeman's people are incredible and couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Ashley, Blair Freeman's origin story is rooted in a challenging renovation project that you and your business partner, Miranda, undertook together. Those early days must have been filled with lessons, frustrations, maybe one or two, and some breakthroughs. Can you take us back to that pivotal moment? And was there something specifically about that experience that inspired you to move beyond just solving immediate problems and instead build an entire firm?
Yes. Okay, so that project was one of Miranda's side projects, the initial one.
Uh-huh.
And she was just moving to Omaha, so she didn't have any political pull. She didn't really know much about the Omaha scene. She didn't know any contractors. She didn't know any of that. And so she started this project blindly, as most people would. And me having been in the development world, I had a lot of people I could call to say, she's running into this red tape. Can you remove this barrier? She's running into this. Can we change this? And as you go through your career, you have people that you can call for those favors. But then what happens to the people that don't have that ability, or they don't work in our industry and they don't know? And so that was, I think, our light bulb moment of how many other people have the capacity, the money, the desire to build similar to what Miranda did, but just can't get through the red tape. Because had it not been for those phone calls that I was able to make, that project would have stopped. And so for us, that was that light bulb moment of, oh my gosh, there's got to be a ton of people that run into that same issue. And so that's what made us go, huh.
So, and it's so true that if you don't have those connections, if you don't know where to go, if you don't have the industry-related experience, you're at a loss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a place of privilege that we get into in this industry that we don't even realize until you're on the outside going, ooh, what would someone do if they can't call city planning? What would they do?
Right.
Yeah. So that
makes a huge difference. And folks that don't have that experience are stuck in not being able to complete projects.
Yes.
One of the values you lead with at Blair Freeman is boldness, which often requires willingness to take risks, challenging the status quo, and step into uncharted territories, like you did when you started this your company.
Yeah.
In a highly competitive and traditional industry like construction, how have you embraced bold decision-making, and can you share a time when taking a bold step helped your company break through a barrier or redefine how things were done?
Yes. I think our boldest step when we first started was, instead of seeing everybody as competition, we saw people as ways to collaborate and grow. And so I think our boldest step was our first time going to a construction company that would be deemed a competitor and saying, what if we do this together? We probably, neither of us will probably get this project, but if we go in together, we might. And so we did. And so that opened the door to, we probably team with the majority of our quote unquote competitors in the market right now. And it's helped us grow in ways that we never would have if we had not. And I think it shaped a different perspective in the construction industry of, like, why do we have to compete so aggressively in things when we can be working together for it? And so I think that was our boldest move and probably my favorite thing that we've done to date.
Yeah, it's very atypical for the construction industry to partner like that.
100%. You know, people have that, oh, we're doing something behind the scenes that somebody else is not. And in reality, I mean, most, when it comes to competition, mm-hmm. we're usually all doing the same thing.
Right, right.
We just, you know, have a different way of doing it, but
right.
on paper, same thing.
You know, that this brings to the next question, my next question about Blair Freeman's emphasis on karma. Mm-hmm. Now, I love that. And it speaks to treating others with respect and understanding the long-term consequences of every action.
Yes.
How do you integrate this value into your business practices, especially when you're dealing with the complexity of construction, where there's so many moving parts and people involved? And maybe more specifically, can you share an instance where this value of karma led to a positive outcome for both Blair Freeman, the community, and the clients you serve?
Yeah, I don't know if I have specific examples. I think there are instances, especially when conflict arises, where you are correct. You're 100% right, and and throwing mud on somebody else would be within bounds, right?
Right, right.
But in some instances, that's going to come back negatively because the person that you're throwing mud at obviously knows a million people also, and it's going to come back. And so we think heavily on not only what is this in-the-moment thing that's going to make me feel amazing, but what is that going to track back to in a year, right? What kind of a snowball is going to be developing in the background? Yeah. And so karma both on the good side, where if you pour into people, they'll pour back to you, and on the bad side of where if you treat people poorly.
Right.
And so we are very intentional about, yep, that hurt, that stung, but let's not throw mud back.
Yeah. I don't think you'd be able to partner the way you're partnering if you didn't follow that value.
Yes. Yeah. And also, I mean, just walking around knowing somebody dislikes you to me is just something I don't want to do on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. I can't name anybody right now that I think is like, ooh, that Ashley, I'm going to come get her when I can. And that's terrifying to me. So I think I just... Transparency, it doesn't mean you're not going to have a lot of conflicts, not mean that people aren't going to rub you wrong and you're not going to rub them wrong, but the way that I'm really big on calling people to the rug and like, let's just sort this out in a real way, I think that helps.
Yeah. When I was looking back, because as I'm nearing the end of my career as CEO, looking back at some of the values and that I stepped into this role as, and one of those was the hand up, you know, just making sure that we're constantly looking, how can we raise, you know, high tide raises all boats. Yes. How can we give a hand up to let people be their best? Doesn't mean you don't hold people accountable, which you're talking about. But how do you do that with care and compassion so that they can survive that and then move on to do different things?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's I love that. I love that you just call it full on karma because that's really what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah.
So in the construction industry, it's notorious for challenges where it's fluctuating material costs, labor shortages, complexity of managing large-scale projects. What have been some of the toughest challenges you faced since founding Blair Freeman, and how have you managed to navigate them while staying true to your values of transparency, boldness, and family?
Well, we got the trifecta of all things that could possibly go wrong. We had COVID right when we opened our
doors. Yeah, that's right.
Suez Canal went down, so all of
our
freight and things were trapped. We've got ports closing as we speak. I think what we learned is you aren't going to have the answers to everything. And that transparency piece of just letting people know as early as possible when there is an issue to give other folks an opportunity to chime in and say, what if we go about this, this, and this? The more people you have in a room and allow to problem solve, the better. And so I think our biggest lesson in all of this has been you cannot predict the future. COVID was not on our bingo card. But how you navigate it in a transparent way and utilizing resources really changes your ability to be effective, efficient, and also the way people see you execute when you're transparent is different than like if you're trying to hold all those problem cards in the background until everything blows up.
Right.
And then
right.
all of a sudden everybody's been in the dark. It doesn't hit well. So transparency as early as possible, I think is.
I think that's one of the hardest things that that engineers in particular don't like to share. I'm generalizing. Don't like to share bad news because we want to do good things.
Yes.
But that transparency piece, as you said, it can take care of the negativity of it because everybody's probably in the same boat if there's a situation beyond our control.
Yeah. And typically we're on projects as a team.
Right.
And so maybe the engineer can't solve it, but the construction company can.
Right.
Maybe the construction company can't, but the owner's rep can. It just depends on when you get those different brains that have been in the industry for so long.
Right.
Somebody's going to think of something you didn't, for sure.
Bring everything together creatively.
Yes.
So Blair Freeman stands out as a woman-owned firm in an industry where women are often underrepresented or not represented, especially in leadership roles. For other women listening who might be interested in breaking into the construction industry, what advice would you offer them based on your and Miranda's experience leading in this space?
You have to be comfortable with being the only one in the room. That's definitely going to happen. But I think my biggest advice is always you cannot go into a situation looking for why somebody is going to treat you differently or try to hold you back. Because if you look for it, you're going to find it. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell people just go in and treat that room the same way you would if you were in the room with a bunch of women or if you're a person of color with a bunch of people of color.
Right.
You have to treat the room the same way. It's kind of like when you get a new car. Right. You, for some reason, nobody had that car until you got it. And then now all of a sudden, everybody has that car.
Yeah.
Right. If you're looking for it, you're going to find it. So just having an open mind, don't apply negativity to every situation. Somebody may treat you in a way that you're like, I wonder if that's because I'm a woman. Don't let it be that until they say that. Right.
Right.
Don't look for it because you'll find it.
I think that's one of the things I often have been the only woman in the room as well. And you do see it if you're looking for it.
Yes.
But then I was at a meeting one time, this is a long time ago, but I was the only woman in the room and it was contentious. And I came prepared because that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
And I walked out and one of the gentlemen in the room said, oh, you did a great job. I said, of course I did. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you expect anything else from me? Isn't that why I was there?
Thanks. I'm good at my job. I know.
I'm good at my job. But it's just that I just went and showed up and did my job.
Yes.
And
people will notice.
People notice.
People
will
notice.
Yeah. Have you encountered any resistance or unique challenges? And have you had to work to overcome them, being a women leader in the industry?
You know, I always wish that I could say that I feel like people have treated me differently as a woman than they treat men. And I don't think that they have. I think if anything, we got in the industry at the right time where people were really focused on women-owned businesses and businesses of color. And so we got lucky in that was the spotlight was on how do we reinforce, how do we lift these companies up? And so we definitely rode that wave.
That's great.
And we're not embarrassed to say that because there's not been opportunities like that in the past. And so I can't say that I feel like we've been treated differently. If anything, we've been given more opportunities, I think, because of.
Well, and you've done the work.
Yeah, we've done the work. Well, and I mean, how many generations of women came before us that weren't able to do this kind of work? So we're just grateful every day that people take us serious.
Which they wouldn't if you didn't do a good job.
We try. Listen, we mess up from time to time, but we own it and we fix it.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know anyone who doesn't.
Yes.
Any human anyway.
Yes.
So your work goes beyond brick and mortar, creating lasting change in communities you serve. From championing social responsibility to giving back in impactful ways, Blair Freeman's influence reaches well beyond the job site. Can you share some standout projects or initiatives where you felt that deeper sense of purpose?
Projects in general. So we worked with Lamprey Nearson on Radius. Yeah. Radius was a big one for us because I think it was the first project that we needed to use our reputation as somebody that was born and raised in North Omaha to help create buy-in on a cause that we really believed in. Mm-hmm. When we first built it, everyone thought it was going to be a jail. And so that was one of the first times that we put our name on a project and really stood in front of the bullets to say, no, wait a minute. So I think that one was one of the ones we were most proud of when we first did our first community engagement meeting to announce that project was happening. There was probably 300 very angry people at the meeting. And we continued to have community engagement meetings monthly until I think towards the end there might have been 10 people in the room and they were usually just neighbors that were coming to talk, chat, and get some free food. And so that brings me a sense of pride. That's not the only project that we've done that with, but that was the first one that we really had to put on our big girl pants and get in front of. And so I think that's just how we've taken on all projects. We want to hear people. We made adjustments to that project based on what we heard in those meetings. And I think that's what we take pride in is that we listen to the community. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we can't change or do everything people want, but their voices matter. And we do our best to include those in every project that we are in.
I'm on the Radius's board of directors.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, Nick Giuliano is amazing, and the work they're doing there is amazing. And the building, the facility, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And those kids deserve that.
Yeah, and it's functional, mm-hmm. and it's safe. And I think it's just a wonderful project. So, yeah. I think that you can see the community input in the final outcome.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And as you said, the kids deserve that.
They deserve it, yeah. They deserve some, you know, mm-hmm. some hope.
Yep. My final question for today, Ashley, is I'd like to talk about the future. As Blair Freeman continues to grow and evolve, what does the future look like for your company? And what is your vision for Blair Freeman in the next 5 to 10 years? And how do you see the company continue to disrupt and innovate within the construction industry?
Yes. So obviously expansion is our focus now. You don't realize how big of a monster Omaha is in construction until you get into this industry. We've got some incredible mm-hmm. companies based in Omaha. And so we recognize that in order to not cannibalize each other, we've got to grow. Mm-hmm. And so we've been focusing on expanding to new markets. But I think our focus is really going to be on building that workforce for people that traditionally have been marginalized from construction and owners' representation in general. And so we started a 501c3, the Sand Lab, which is meant to give people individual focus on what they need in order to get into the industry. And so if it's that babysitters are falling through and you need help finding childcare, or if it's that you need further training on something, mm-hmm. we really started Sand Lab to help be able to push somebody, not only from Blair Freeman, but any company can say, this person's incredible. They just have these things going on in the background that we need to help them resolve. That's what amazing. Sand Lab is
right,
for.
Right. Yeah. So who do you serve with Sand Lab?
In terms of who can...
Yeah, who can, how do you get involved with Sand Lab?
So it's brand new, but you can go to sandlab.org. And if you are trying to get into the industry, that's mm-hmm. a great place to start. Or if you're in the industry and trying to grow, that's another
that's
great
wonderful.
Place.
Yeah. Very good for you guys.
Thanks.
I love the karma piece. I love the giving back. It's how we grow our community in ways that everyone can have access to the benefits of living here.
Yeah. Yeah. And even being able to look back on my career and see those moments where somebody opened a door that mm-hmm. it wasn't because I earned the door to be open. I just happened to be right place, right time. And mm-hmm. it changed the trajectory of my career. I just want to be that for other people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really important that those of us who have had opportunity give back in that way.
Yes.
I think it's so important. How has it been working as a co-CEO? With Miranda.
Oh my gosh, my favorite thing. I don't know how other people do it. I don't know how you do it. Sometimes I feel like I'm crazy. And there's just the decisions that you have to make in leadership, mm-hmm. but having somebody there by your side to be like, you're not crazy. Mm-hmm. and this is what we're going to do. And Miranda and I are very different people, very different. And so it helps to be able to have somebody that is, we don't have groupthink going, that we can walk in a room and there's two very different opinions and come out of that with beautiful decisions that... It's amazing. I think there's a lot of people that are like, you can't do both. Two people can't be CEO. You can't be 50-50. And I think we've proven differently that you absolutely can.
That's amazing. I you know, you often hear about the lonely CEO seat, and it's true. I mean, we have a great team at Lamprey Nearson, and I couldn't do this job without the team that we have. But at the end of the day,
the decision's yours.
The decision's mine as CEO. So having someone, as you said, having someone to that you trust and that you know each other's strengths to bounce ideas off of, that's an amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you have that and then that it's working so well for you guys.
Yeah, it's awesome. Also having somebody just to check you at the end of the day where you're like, all right, you're dead wrong. Let's get back on track. It's really good.
Yeah, that would be amazing too. Yeah. What percentage of your company is female and male?
So we are about 85% female.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. You attract who you are. So.
Right.
It's not something we intentionally have heat sunk on. Like, we only want women. That's definitely not. We want the best of the best. But I think a lot of it just attracts that we're women and women want to work for women.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a different energy to it. I mean, people are people, but there's definitely, I've noticed that especially as I've networked with other women CEOs, mm-hmm. the things that sometimes we talk about, the things that we're thinking about and how we approach work can be different than how a man would or male would approach a problem.
100% agree. Yeah.
Not good or bad.
Yeah.
Just different.
It's very different.
Very different.
It's very different.
Well, this has been wonderful chatting with you today, Ashley. I so appreciate you coming in. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Legacy Listening Podcast with your host, Nancy Predahl. I'd like to thank our guests once again, Ashley Kuhn, for joining us today. It was a pleasure and honor to have you with us. I loved learning about how you operate, how you run your company, and I'm just the karma thing. I just love that. To our listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Like, share, and download all of our past episodes on Apple, Spotify, or our website. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other. Thank you.